This is the Unconquered Podcast. Unbiased, unrivaled, and unconquered coverage and analysis of Florida State football.
If Florida State, we won national championships and ACC championships.
It's caught! Touchdown official, Kelvin Benjamin!
Back to some basics, consistency in what we're doing. Guys getting a little banged and bruised, working a bunch of different situations, making progress.
You have to have success so you know something I can really do this.
Game over! Those are the champions of college football!
Jameis, why? Jameis, no! No! No!
This is the Unconquered Podcast. I'm your host, Jason Staples. It's rivalry week, and we're breaking down Florida and Florida State. Looking first at the Florida defense versus the Florida State offense, I think a lot of Florida State fans have gone into this game expecting that Florida will be the best defense that Florida State has played this year. And they certainly are one of the better defenses that Florida State will have played this season, but I don't think that they're anywhere near as good as the Clemson defense. I think the Clemson defense is the best defense that Florida State has played. I think you can see that both in terms of the front seven when you watch Clemson healthy with all of their defensive linemen in place. Against Georgia, they did not have top run-stopping defensive end Corey Crawford, and then actually his replacement, Tavares Barnes, actually was hurt in the late third quarter or early fourth quarter. I don't remember exactly when it was, but it was only after Barnes went out that Georgia went on the rushing attack, and they actually had around half of their total offense and half of their rushing yardage in the fourth quarter after Crawford, who was suspended, was gone, and then Crawford's replacement, Tavares Barnes, was out with an injury. So even in the one game where Clemson gave up some serious yardage, that was only when they were not at full strength. I think that full strength Clemson front seven is the best Florida State has seen this year, and I think it's the best they will see. Even if they get to a playoff, they're not going to see a better front seven than what they saw against Clemson. Even if they play in Alabama, who I think is, they're no better on the front seven than Clemson. They're in the same range, in my view. And actually, what's interesting is if you look at the FEI, the Fremo Efficiency Index rankings for defense, the three top teams in that are ACC teams. Clemson, Virginia Tech, and Louisville are the three top teams in FEI defense. It's just too bad that Virginia Tech has no offense, and they haven't for years. But we did see how good that Virginia Tech defense was against Ohio State early in the year. And I still do not believe that game against Ohio State was a fluke or simply due to a young quarterback. The other good defense that Ohio State has played this year is Penn State, and Penn State being ninth in defensive FEI. And they struggled with that just within the last month. They very nearly lost in Happy Valley. So, I think the biggest reason for Ohio State's improvement is that they've been playing much worse defenses, to be honest. But either way, Florida State has played both Clemson and Louisville, two of the top three defensive FEI defenses. FEI, again, is a drive-based efficiency measure, so how well do teams do adjusted for opponent on a drive-by-drive basis. It's Clemson, Virginia Tech, and Louisville, 1, 2, 3. Virginia is sixth, and then Florida is down there at 12th. For what it's worth, Florida State is 16th. For those who have constantly been complaining about Charles Kelly and Florida State's defense underachieving, Florida State's defense is still awfully good. It still ranks higher than Ohio State's, for example, and certainly Oregon's, and a number of other contenders in defensive FEI. Now, if we want to look at F+, which combines play-by-play rankings and the FEI and drive rankings, then again, we still find that Clemson is the number one defense in the country, that Louisville is number five, Virginia is number, what are they? Virginia is number 14, Florida State is 20th, and Florida is 18th. So, I think this is something where obviously Florida State fans have a high respect for a rivalry context, for a rivalry game. They know how good Florida is in terms of the players that they're able to put on the field with the talent that they have. Vernon Hargreaves and and Dante Fowler Jr. and a number of other players on that on that front. You know, Bullard, Tabor, obviously a very good true freshman corner, but objectively speaking, Florida has not been better on defense than Clemson, first of all, Louisville, second of all, Virginia, third of all, and even Florida State, right in the same range. They're no better on defense, appreciably better. They're not appreciably better on defense than Florida State is. They're right around where Miami is. Miami's 22nd in defensive F+, which goes to show just how good Florida State's offensive schedule, strength of schedule has been. Florida State has played a lot of very good defenses so far this year, and they played the best defense and beat the best defense that they've played in Clemson without Jameis Winston. So this is an interesting matchup, in part because we get to see, I think, you know, last week, the last 2 weeks, we started to see this Florida State offense begin to turn a corner with the change of Cam Irving to center and the move of Rod Johnson into the starting lineup at left tackle. And they certainly have their best five on the field at this point. And Johnson has been as good as any of us could have expected. Some of us before the season said that we felt he was the best prospect at the tackle position that Florida State has brought in years. And I think he's confirmed that in the way he's played these first two games. He had a holding call against Boston College last week, but other than that, he's been rock solid for the last 2 weeks against two good defensive lines. I mean, Boston College is actually, you know, again, I repeat, they're a good football team. Their defense, again, is 50th in the country, and most of that is because they've done a great job stopping the run, and they've got a decent and physical defensive front. And Rod Johnson did well there, and he did even better in his first action against Miami, which was a good front, number 22 F+ defense. So I think the thing that has really changed for Florida State here is that they've, in the last 2 weeks, Winston has not taken the kind of contact that he'd been taking in the month prior to that, really all season. Winston has been banged up from that period, but you know, the last couple weeks he's been able to step up in the pocket. He's been able to get time to throw when he's needed it, and that changes a lot of things. And as does the ability to run the football. Florida State now can run the football. They're 11th, which was shocking to me. I mean, as much as the narrative is that Florida State doesn't run the football well, when I looked it up, they're 11th in S&P Plus in rushing. S&P Plus being a play-by-play efficiency ranking, and when Florida State runs the football, they're the 11th most efficient team in the country, which was surprising to me because of the way that the narrative has so much been that if it's not Jameis Winston throwing the football to Rashad Greene, then Florida State's not very good, that they can't run the football, they can't do any of these things. That's not true over the last few weeks, especially, that they've been able to run the football, and actually the last 2 weeks, you know, they've been able to run the football extremely well late in games to put games away. You know, they came back against Miami not by throwing the football, but by running the football. They were able to run the football, and you know, Dalvin Cook put that game away late against Miami. The same thing happened against Boston College. They got the ball back with about 4 minutes left, and then they were able to run the football all the way down the field effectively, just a couple throws, run the football all the way down the field with Carlos Williams and Dalvin Cook getting the bulk of the carries, and run the ball down the field, basically run out the clock with the, you know, obviously Fisher being upset because the official called a timeout before he had actually requested a timeout. Otherwise, they would have run out the clock, and getting the opportunity to put the game away with a field goal. And that's because they were able to run the football against a good run defense late. And they, you know, they were able to do whatever they wanted in the running game there effectively. So, you know, this is where Florida State, the interesting thing for me is going to be to see exactly how much of a step forward Florida State continues to take each game with this new offensive line. Last week, I think there were, you know, the weather and a number of drops kind of conspired to limit exactly how efficient Florida State could be. You know, a couple of those drives where they were not able to get into the end zone early on were the result of just, you know, basically sloppy play, and ball, you know, the heavy ball going through the hands of receivers, and, you know, just a couple penalties here and there. But it was not the result of getting whipped up front. And that's got to be the encouraging thing for Florida State fans coming into this game, because, you know, Miami had a good defensive line. Florida State was able to hold them off. Boston College has stopped the run all year. Florida State was able to run it on them. Florida comes into the season, into this game, having on the season been able to generally stop the run. They're only giving up 3.02 yards per carry, as you would expect by a front seven of their caliber. But the two good offenses that they've played, Alabama and Georgia, both averaged over 4 yards per carry on Florida. So I expect to see Florida State give it a shot a little bit to see how they, a little bit early, to see how they're able to run on that Florida defensive front. And to me, what was a really terrifying matchup a couple weeks ago for Florida State fans is no longer nearly as bad of a matchup. You know, where before with either Austin Barron or Ryan Hofeld at the center position, you felt like Florida would be able to load those A gaps and cause a lot of problems and stop the Florida State running game and get into Winston's face. I don't think that happens in this game the same way. I think if anything, Florida State may have the edge on the inside with Cam Irving at center. And now the only concern is whether, you know, on the front is whether or not the biggest concern, there are actually two concerns, but the biggest concern is how true freshman Rod Johnson in his third start is going to fare in one-on-one situations. And it's not just Johnson. You could also say, you know, Bobby Hart is going to have his issues there too, but against Dante Fowler Jr. You know, Fowler is a very, very explosive pass rusher off the edge, causes all sorts of problems, and Florida does everything they can, you know, using scheme and all sorts of things up front to get him in one-on-one matchups with offensive linemen, and he causes problems. He's a disruptive player. So the real question is how Florida State tackles can handle him on the edge. And given what we've seen so far, I don't expect him to dominate the game. And that's really all Florida State needs, is to make sure that he's not able to create those splash plays, those dominant plays to turn the game, because I think Florida State has the edge on the interior at this point with Irving at center. The other more minor concern is obviously Irving snapping. He had one bad snap last week against Georgia Tech that effectively ended one drive. And you know, with these games being shortened the way that Florida's going to try to do it offensively, you can't afford that sort of thing. But I don't expect that sort of thing to happen in this one. You didn't see it really in the Miami game. And you know, you're going to get that sort of thing periodically. So, you know, I think he's just improving as things go along. But at any rate, I think the Florida State offense is going to match up much better up front than anybody expected coming into the game a few weeks ago, which gives them some flexibility and I think gives them the edge actually on that side of the ball, because that allows them to get some matchups against Florida's safeties and linebackers and coverage where Florida is not comfortable. Florida's very good on the edge. Vernon Hargreaves and Jalen Tabor are two outstanding talents at the cornerback position. Both guys will play on Sundays. Both guys will be high draft picks, and they're well coached. They're very well coached at the cornerback position, and they do a great job of playing physical and putting their hands on guys, grabbing and holding, and doing it in such a way where they rarely get called. And Florida State's receivers had some trouble with that early last year. The good thing is that FSU's played now three teams in a row that have really done that to the receivers, and they've been forced to deal with that in-game conditions. So that's a positive. The other positive for Florida State is that basically their safeties have been a liability at different points all year. Their third corner, their fourth corner, and their safeties have had some trouble stopping the passing game over the middle with guys that can throw accurately and against receivers that can run. And Florida State is going to be able to put those guys out there. So I would expect to see FSU put Rashad Green in slot to put him in the number three spot, you know, on the inside, the far inside of trips, you know, a number of those things to try to get him in those advantageous matchups against Florida's safeties and sometimes against linebackers and so on, and to, you know, use Green and Bobo Wilson in particular in those inside matchups while the young big receivers Rudolph and Lane are able to basically do their thing on the outside. The real question at that point that you've got to worry about if you're Florida State is how well those receivers are going to cope, how well they're going to get off of that press coverage where they're, you know, unlike the pro game, you can hold and bump and keep contact all the way down the field in the college game, which makes it much more difficult to get off of that kind of physical coverage because a lot more is allowed to go on. And when, you know, at in the NFL level, that stops at the 5-yard zone. So if you can get off the line, you're fine. In college, you know, there's a lot more contact that goes on downfield. And so, you know, your guys like Lane and Rudolph and they've got to get used to that aspect of the college game. And a guy like Green, who's not that big of a guy, has to be able to be physical and play through those kinds of tight coverage. So let's go ahead and move then to the defensive side of the ball for Florida State. And this is where the real advantage should be. Florida is not very good on offense. They quite simply are not a good offensive football team. They don't have a whole lot of playmakers. They've got one really in at the wide receiver position with Robinson. You know, he's basically all they've got. And you know, when you're looking at the numbers, DeMarcus Robinson has 43 catches for 703 yards, and the next highest is Quentin Dunbar with 17 catches for 326 yards. So I mean, it's a little over double the production from Robinson. So basically, Florida State knows what they need to stop there. Clay Burton is not much of a threat at the tight end position. Florida's tight ends are there for blocking, and Florida will also put extra offensive linemen on the field to try to bludgeon you a little bit. And effectively, what FSU is facing this week is what Boston College did last week. The difference is that Boston College's offensive line and running game is actually better than Florida's. So whereas Boston College was able to more or less win the line of scrimmage most of the game and keep away from the Florida State offense because FSU had trouble getting them off the field, Florida averages not quite a yard less per carry, but close to a yard less per carry than Boston College did coming into the game. I mean, if Florida State produces the same kind of performance, they're still going to be giving up less than 4 yards per carry against this Florida offense. So, you know, I think Florida State fans at this point have images of Florida running the football all over Georgia and all over former Florida State coordinator Jeremy Pruitt, who's running effectively the same scheme that Florida State is at Georgia, and they couldn't stop him. Florida physically dominated that Georgia front and that Georgia secondary once the backs broke through the line, and were able to control that game with the running game. And so Florida State fans who've watched Florida State give up some rushing yards over the course of the year, they're a little bit twitchy about the possibility that Florida actually has a better rushing performance than what we saw from Boston College last week, and it's enough to play keep away and ultimately win a close one. While that's possible, I don't see it. Again, like I said, Boston College is a better running team. They've also got a better quarterback, ironically, since he's a transfer from Florida. But Treyon Harris is still, you know, he's still green as a starter. They don't run a whole lot of complex stuff in the passing game. They've got one real playmaker in the pass offense. Obviously, Quentin Dunbar is a threat to break a tackle and go if they do get him the ball. But they've had trouble getting the ball to those guys in space, and that makes a big difference when you're when you're a Florida State team coming into this trying to stop the run. There's really not a whole lot of fear of what Florida can do in, you know, the possession passing game. What you just have to do is you have to make sure that Robinson can't get over top, that Dunbar can't get over top. And that's where, you know, Treyon Harris throws an excellent deep ball. But as long as you're playing, you know, cover three, as long as you're keeping over top, as long as you're not allowing those guys to get behind you, you're in great shape. Because they're not going to do a whole lot underneath. They're just not good enough at this point in the passing game to really threaten you there. And, you know, you think about this, again, going back to the F-plus ratings, Boston College is 23rd in the country offensively. Florida is 80th. You know, this gets back to, you know, what FSU faced the last few weeks actually, I think, is a little bit tougher than what they're facing this week, other than it being a rivalry game. And obviously Miami was that on the road. So, you know, this is where, you know, the basic thought should be that Florida State should have the edge here. Florida State should have the edge, even against the Florida offense, as much maligned as the Florida State defense has been. They're still 20th best in the country once you adjust for opponent and pace. So, you know, there are a couple concerns. I think when you look at how Florida was able to have success against Georgia. They were able to run, they ran power O probably 30 times in that game. You know, a play where the backside guard pulls and leads, and you have a kickout block, and you know, basically it's designed to either get the, depending on how that kickout block works, if it turns into a kickout, then you have the back go, you know, go between the tackles. If the kickout turns into a seal block, then the back hits the edge. And Georgia was never able to protect their edge. They were not able to hold the edge and force that back into a into the pile. Georgia was unable to win that on the edge. And Florida was able to get to the outside with those backs, get into space, and those backs were able to win their matchups one-on-one with the defensive backs in space and create some big plays. That's the one concern, because Florida State has had some issues protecting their edge at different points with Chris Kasher and DeMarcus Walker in particular having some issues at the defensive end position and giving up the edge. But you know, I don't think, especially having the floor that Florida Georgia tape to look at, I don't think we're going to be seeing that level of Florida getting that kind of that seal on the edge and being able to consistently get to the edge with the backs and make plays downfield. The other concern really here is that Florida's coming off of a quasi bye, you know, having played a patsy last week, and you know they have nothing to lose. This is a coaching staff that is coaching their last game together, and they've got no reason not to go out with a splash by pulling out all sorts of stuff that they certainly will have prepared all off season for specific things that may work against Florida State, and they have no reason not to pull out everything in the arsenal to try to spoil Florida State's season. So you know, again, that's no different than anybody else all year. Perhaps one difference is that Florida is going to be one of the teams that Florida State's going to have prepared a little bit extra for during the offseason as well, even though Florida State's coming into this game a little bit more banged up, not having come off of a bye, but instead coming off of three very physical games with Virginia, then on the road at Miami, and then Boston College in those conditions last week. Not exactly ideal conditions to come into a rivalry game with Florida State being so banged up. And you could see last week, I felt like Boston College was the fresher team. You could tell that Boston College was the fresher team in the second half, and Florida State still managed to escape that. But they can't afford to be in that position against Florida, where Florida again is going to have good reason to be fresher since they were able to rest a little bit last week. The final thing to look at is special teams, and you know, Florida does have a terrific punter. They do win that matchup, even though Cason Beatty has narrowed that gap significantly, much more than I think any of us expected this year, especially after the start to the year that he got. And also Quentin Dunbar is a threat as a returner, both as a punt returner and as a kick returner. They're able, with their athleticism and with some of the quality Florida athletes that they have on the field, they're able to do some things in the return game, and that's always a concern. I wouldn't be surprised to see Florida State go ahead and kick the ball through the end zone on kickoffs a little bit more in this game than they have over the course of the year, just out of respect for Florida's return game. Because when you've got an offense that's sputtering as much as what Florida has been over the course of the season, there's very little reason to worry about pinning them as much as the bigger thing you've got to be concerned about is whether or not they're going to be able to get a big return. They're probably more likely to have something happen in the return game than they are from scrimmage. So that's the real concern. But either way, I feel more positive about this game coming in than I really did against, certainly better than I did against Miami, where I felt like it was pretty close to a coin flip game. I feel better about this game than I did going into the Virginia game. I don't think this Florida team is as good as either of those teams. Even though I think they're, you have to remember, this is a Florida team that should have beaten LSU and really should have won their last Power 5 game against South Carolina, the game that sealed Muschamp's fate. They snatched defeat from the jaws of victory in that game, and they really did against LSU as well. I mean, they're very close to being a 9-2 team. Obviously, an 8-2 team. They didn't have the chance to be 9-2 since that Idaho game was canceled at the beginning of the year. But at any rate, Even given that, the SEC East is so weak, and I think Boston College and Virginia are underrated as opposed to Florida, where I think they're also underrated, but not by quite as much. They benefit a little bit from the SEC reputation. I think that this game is a game where Florida State's peaking a little bit more on that offensive side. I expect to see a little bit of a move made on that offensive side, and Florida State to actually get the edge here against the Florida defense. You just have to see. Basically, they're just going to have to get some physical play from their receivers, and the key to the game, in my opinion, is winning first down. If Florida State is able to win first down on both sides of the football, this game gets to be a blowout. I don't think Florida can hang into this game at all if Florida State's able to win first down on both sides of the football, because Florida's offense can't handle long yardage situations. They're not built for it. They don't have the personnel for it, and they don't have the quarterback or receivers for it at this point to be able to deal with long yardage. And you can bet that Florida State's going to come in doing everything that they can, selling out to win on first down. And making sure essentially what you've got to do, if I'm Florida State, I come in with a similar plan to what I did against Boston College, where I go with a five-man front. This week you've got Derek Nnadi healthy, so he would be at the nose tackle position. But you go with essentially three defensive tackles plus DeMarcus Walker, Chris Kasher on the edge as that defensive lineman, and then the two backers behind him. So that you've got, you know, a lot of beef on that front with three defensive tackles plus Edwards plus one other defensive end, and basically try to occupy that offensive line with that front and let the linebackers flow to the football. That's how I would do it. And then I'd play cover three behind it and basically tell my deep safety and my two corners, do not let anything behind you. The only thing we can't give up is big plays here. If they want to try to be efficient throwing the football short and marching up the field, then we're going to go ahead and give it to them. But you know, we don't. I wouldn't feel like they could do that. So that would be what I would challenge them to do, is to win in the short passing game, to win with execution in that short to intermediate area, and otherwise sell out to stop the run with my front and let my three primary coverage players make sure that they take those deep zones and don't let anything behind them. And I think that's a winning formula against this Florida defense, or against this Florida offense, given that I think the Florida State offense is going to have their share of opportunities to beat the Florida State defense in the middle of the field and should have some success running the football. So at any rate, I'm forecasting somewhere in the range of 34-17. Obviously, things are pretty variable in this kind of game, depending on how many drives you're going to get, because Florida is going to be interested in keeping this game to as few a possessions as possible. I mean, if they have their choice, they're going to do the same thing that Boston College did, where they're going to try to limit the game to maybe eight possessions. And hope to be just efficient enough to keep in the game and hang in there and have a chance to win at the end. Whereas Florida State is going to want, 12 to 13 possessions in this game. And it's going to be a matter of whether they can get that Florida offense off the field enough to give their offense a few extra at bats. And if that happens, then this could get a little bit further out of control. But I'm going to go with somewhere in the middle. I think Florida has a couple, chances to make some plays early. Maybe Florida State has a turnover. They've had every sort of bad bounce create early turnovers. Perhaps there's a turnover at some point that gives Florida some points. But I'm going to go with somewhere around 34-17 in this game. I think that's basically the area that we're going to be looking at most likely as sort of the middle ground. So the game, again, I'm going to repeat this before we get to the next week, just again to reiterate this, the game that I'm more concerned about than Florida is that Georgia Tech game. I think Georgia Tech has a very good chance to beat Georgia this weekend. They're humming on offense. They've got top two offense in the country. And if you're going to beat Florida State, you either need to be really good on both sides of the ball, or you need to have a truly elite unit on one side of the ball, particularly on offense. And I think that Georgia Tech has that elite kind of offense that can give Florida State trouble. And that to me is the game that's a bigger concern. So FSU fans need to be rooting for that game against Georgia to go into double or triple overtime and be an emotionally draining kind of performance for Boston College so that they come into the ACC championship every bit as banged up as Florida State is, even though they had a bye last week. So either way, I think that's the bigger concern. It's crazy to say going into Florida, but going into the Florida game, but I think Florida State will come out and have a little bit more comfortable win in this. I've expected a couple comfortable wins this year. I expected last week's win against Boston College to be a little more comfortable than it was. But it seems like this team has not had it in them to have a comfortable win, but I do see that happening. I think that's more likely in this game, and it'll be interesting to see how that progresses. I'm very much looking forward to seeing how Florida State matches up with one of these vaunted SEC teams on the line of scrimmage. Well, that's going to be it for today. This has been the Unconquered Podcast. Thanks for listening. We're always available on the on iTunes or through your podcast manager of choice. Tell your friends, rate us on iTunes. We'd appreciate the company. Well, thanks a lot. On behalf of the No Lie Just crew, this is Jason Staples signing off of the Unconquered Podcast.
I made this.